Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Clipper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191 A Manchester Avenue, right there in the heart of the Grove, between the demo and the ready room. Hey, check it out this Saturday, April 16th is Record Store Day. Come on down and check out what they got going on. Doors open at 7, first 25 people are in line. Get an exclusive bag of goodies. And then over at the demo right next door at 11 a.m., live music from Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, 18 and Counting, Adult Fur, Old Soul, and Old Souls Revival. So come check all that out. And lots of great exclusive vinyl. Go to recordstoreday.com to see some of the stuff that they are releasing this year. And then if you need any more information, feel free to check out their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Will from Money for Guns, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 201.
Nice.
Hanging out.
It's a lot of episodes.
Yeah. I've been busy, man.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hanging out in St. Louis, Missouri with Will Salisbury.
That's me.
Of Money for Guns.
Huh? Yeah.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Well, thanks for coming to my basement and recording me talking. So something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, man. This is this is the first time we get to meet, really. We spoke briefly over at Pops the other night.
That was a road to Point Fest. That was an interesting evening. That was fun.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of talent on stage that evening. It was, and it's cool to see. I've been going to a lot of those. I mean, a lot of my friends are playing out in them this year. So I've been going to quite a few of them, and I've also been with doing the show. I want to be present and supporting and put my money where my mouth is, kind of thing, you know, get out and support these guys and recruit new talent for the show.
That was the best part of that night is, because, I mean, we've played in dives and big, you know, whatever, rooms and stuff for a decade, but it's everybody at that show was there to see the show.
Yeah.
It was the best crowd we've had in I don't know how long, but everyone was there to see music. Like, even if it wasn't your buddy's band or, you know, somebody, you know, everyone was at the stage. Everyone was there to have a play. Yeah. Those are the best shows to play.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It does feel like, and I've said it a bunch on the show, in regards to, like, I feel like there is a good change happening, especially at Pops right now. Because I can remember not too long ago having friends that played in those, and then when they call them Battle of the Bands for Point Fest and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it felt like a real battle where, like, you know, okay, show up at this time, you watch our band, and then everybody steps off, and then, like, the next wave of fans come in, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it wasn't really good for, like, the scene or the community and things, but it felt like we're getting to that point now where everybody's just there for a great show, and everybody stays up by the stage, and everybody's supporting the whole show, and it's just cool, man.
Yeah, all the bands we played with, everyone was great. It was like the little side stage area, I guess off stage right. We all kind of hung out beforehand. Everyone was nice. Everyone got along. Everyone was excited to see everyone else play. All the merch tables were all around each other, and the staff was fantastic. Sound, security, and everyone was kind of, it felt like a communal effort, which is really neat when you're playing with a bunch of bands you haven't met. And just that feeling in the room that we were all there kind of in this thing together to have a good night together, that was...
Yeah.
I've been doing this so long. You know, you're not... Your delusions of grandeur are gone. It's just like, I want to play good shows in front of a fun crowd. That's it. That's
sure.
And that was a fantastic night, so...
Yeah, definitely, man. So you touched on there, but the being around for a little while, how, like,
I was looking through some of your stuff on Bandcamp. It looks like you guys have several albums out now from coming back.
It's been, well, I guess we'll, like, me, Dave, and Kev were in a band before this called The Frustrated Bachelors in Columbia, Missouri. Dave and I, have the bass player of this band, also plays guitar. We've been friends since second grade. So, but me, Dave, and Kev have been playing together since 05. And then we started this Money for Guns thing with Todd and Kyle and Joel in 2009, I think. No, 2010. So it was 5 years last year. So it'll be six years this year. It's been Money for Guns. We got two full lengths, a third one coming out, an EP. It's, a lot of material. So,
That's. So how. So was it college then in Columbia?
Yeah, well, I met Kev through, he played another band in Columbia called the Doxies, and then he left that band right as one of our drummers left, which is kind of how it works in Como. If you know anything about the scene, it's like everybody's in everybody else's band, and everyone kind of knows each other, and it was a great time to be there. I guess we were there from like 02 to 06 kind of as a live band, and it was a very fostering environment because there was like three bars to play in and everybody played all the bars and every weekend there were two or three shows every single night and everything was packed. So so it was me, Kev, Dave, and Joel, and then Kyle and Todd. We started Money for Guns in 2010. It's just been kind of, it's been wow. It's been a long time. Holy cow, yeah. So all the way through my 20s basically and now I'm in my mid-30s. So,
nice, man.
No.
So what gets you into playing and singing, writing songs and stuff?
I mean, when I first started, I have to say I was in college, I wanted to learn how to play guitar. And I had, I was an English major and I figured I was kind of good at writing stuff. So Dave and I would work out songs, just kind of grew from there sort of organically. And that's kind of why we keep doing it, is we just want to keep writing and playing better songs. And when the next album isn't better than the last one, we'll stop. It's kind of our thing. So I think this batch of songs coming out this summer is the best we've ever done. We'll see. I mean, we got, I think, two more weekends in the studio and it'll be done. So if after this, which I don't know, if we have another batch of 10 songs that are good, we'll record it. If we don't, we won't. It's just, that's kind of our whole thing, is if we can keep going and keep getting better, then we'll do it. If we can't, then we'll, I don't know. I can't paint, so I don't know what I'll do.
Yeah.
Just keep playing rec sports and going to concerts, I guess. But
yeah, man, I'm right there with you. Like I don't know that this podcast, this thing's gonna be the ticket to get me where I want to be.
No.
But I'm enjoying this big time. I really enjoy the show. But I'm just gonna ride this out till it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna see what the next thing is and the next project and stuff. So yeah, I fully I agree there.
If you're having fun doing it and you get to do it with people you like, or you meet, like I like playing shows and meeting people and talking to folks and stuff like that. You get to do it. It's a vehicle. I'd say the rock and roll and the songwriting is a vehicle to do things. Like, it's a reason I get together with four of my best friends and we get to go out, entertain a bunch of people, because that's the way I look at it. It's like, that's our, I don't know how to say it, but like, you play a show, and that's Saturday night. That's everyone who's out is their night out. Like, that's their Saturday night plans. And I've always taken that very seriously, that when they come out, hey, let's give them a good time. Let's make whatever, 50, 100, even if it's 20 people, make them very happy, have a great time. And that's kind of our vehicle to do that. And that's the most fun thing, is when there's like 50 really happy people when you're done playing, to get to go out and hang out and meet a bunch of new folks. And there's no better rush than that for me, than a good live crowd. And then you're like, hey, everyone's in a good mood, and now let's go drink, and people are gonna meet, and you never know what's gonna happen. And
I've been there, man. That's the rush. I love live music. I love it's what got me into doing this. I love being that guy you're meeting. I love seeing the show and then being able to, especially in local music, where I can go up after you the show and say, hey, that was incredible, guys. Thanks so much. Buy a CD and get you to autograph it and just, share that moment. And it's just, it's a rush that I've yet to find a match, like it's something really incredible.
And I've been on both ends where, like, I meet someone new or like a younger kid's like, I really like, and it makes you feel really good. I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, enjoying that feeling of appreciation from someone. It's really cool. And then I've been on the other end where, like, we've opened for Slobberbone, or I've met, like, my heroes, like Richard Buckner, or Roger Klein, Matthew Ryan, these like songwriters I love. And then we play on the same stage as them, and then you get to meet them, and there's something. I turn into like a teenager again.
Sure.
Like, I'm in my mid-30s, then we open for Matthew Ryan. I'm like, oh my God,
yeah.
This is so awesome. But yeah, I guess last year we had to play for Slobberbone, which is like one of my five favorite bands of all time. I mean, from the Beatles, the Stones, and Creedence till now, like they're in that top five. Yeah. And it's, yeah, and if I didn't do this, that would never happen. So
yeah,
it's, yeah, I've gotten a lot of free tickets.
Oh, yeah.
For playing in a rock and roll band. So that's good.
Sure, yeah. Man. Yeah, I've said it a bunch on the show, but like I got to hang out with the guys of The Urge. I had Steve Ewing on the show twice, and
very cool.
I've had Jerry and John Pizzoni and Bill Ryder and all of them on the show, and so it's like, but I'm right there with, like, again, man. It's like I feel like a 13-year-old boy when fan out, and I try not. I try to keep my cool on the outside, but inside I'm like freaking out.
To get too giddy. But I'm sitting next to like one of my favorite songwriters ever lived. Sure. It's like, hey man, like, hey, you ready? I'm so excited. You know, it's just like, and that's their 50th show in like 55 days, and I'm just, you know, some fucking hopped up on Coca-Cola, and yeah, it's good times. But
do you ever know Brian Posehn at all? You ever listen much?
Yeah.
He tells a great story in his comedy about he's a huge like hair metal fan and stuff. Like I believe the band was Wasp or something.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, man!
And I think he met them and like he was like totally freaked out, like I love you guys, like all this stuff, and he's like. And this is when he was like younger, and he was so like, I guess like in the 80s or something like that. He met him, and he's like freaking out. And then like that guy, whoever the lead singer is, but anyway, he's like, grow some tits or something like that.
Jesus,
like,
Christ.
And so anyway, Brian's like, said it like it scarred him for life. You know, like it was like idol told him to grow some tits, and like so. So the joke is, he keeps going. He's like, now that he's, in his 30s or 40s or whatever, and he's been smoking weed for, 20 years, and he's like, he's actually growing some tits now and stuff. And he's like, so he wants to meet back up with that guy.
Wasp
and like,
again.
He's like, hey, man, I did what you told me to do.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway. Luckily, every one of my heroes I've met have been very... Like, the first one I met was Richard Buckner, who, you see the songwriter, he's been all over. I guess he started in California, I think, San Francisco area. But I remember the first time I met him, he played it. Remember the Billiken Club? It was, like, in the SLU, like, student center. It was free shows, and it was, like, I guess the student union paid for it. I don't know, I didn't go there. So we went there, and he played, I'd seen him play before, but I never met him, and he played a show, and it was just him on the guitar, and he has a bunch of effects pedals, and it's amazing. He was, like... My hero over here on the wall, Townes Van Zandt, was the first songwriter I just, like, I heard him and I was like, I gotta learn how to do that. That was the first one, because I would like songs, the high school bands I loved when I was in high school, but he was the first guy I heard, and then Richard Buckner was it's kind of my connection to that. He was the next guy in that line for me of those, like, heavy lyric troubadours, and I remember he played the show, and it was the first show I'd been to where it was completely silent. Like, everyone just sat and listened and, like, rapt attention. And I remember he gets done with his last song, and the effects are still going. He's, like, coming off the stage, and he walks by me, and he just looks, like, fucking intense. And I remember I looked at him, I was like, good show. And he looks at me and goes, hey, thanks, man! And, like, slapped me on the back and just walked out and smoked. And I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. He's a normal human being. But, and he's a big dude. He's like, God, he's got to be 6'3". He's just a big, hulking dude. He's like, hey, thanks, man! I'm like, all right, Richard Buckner, everybody. There we go. But, yeah, those kind of things, to meet somebody like that is just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll always be a rush. So.
For sure, yeah. No, it's always a cool experience when you do meet those people and they're good people.
Like, yeah,
I've been, like I said, there's a lot of these guys I've met. They're singer songwriters. Like I'm a big fan of Will Hoag. He's one of my favorite singer songwriters.
The guy can play.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I see him every time he's in town. We've since become like buddies and stuff. Like,
nice.
Since I see him at the show, I mean, he remembers me and stuff since I'm I'm there every time. So, and yeah. I'm a bigger guy, so I tend to.
What are you, 6'2"?
So I'm about 6'4" almost.
Damn.
Yeah.
Head topper, man.
But yeah, you know, so it's just cool. Like I built up a lot of relationships with these guys when they, come to town and stuff. So, and that's a lot of what the show's about. Like the fact that I'm able to take it from fan to friend. You know, like I've become friends with a lot of these people that have become on the show and stuff. And like, you know, a lot of people I just met a year ago, and like, you know, some of them, some of my favorite people to hang out with and stuff now. And so it's cool, man.
It's a neat community to be in that to go and see music together, because sure. It's that shared experience thing. Because it's different than going to the movies or watching TV. It's like I feel like when I'm at a concert, I'm part of something. I'm not observing it. Like you're in it. You respond. There's a call and response. Especially when you're on stage, that's the cool thing. Like when you get to interact with the audience and everyone has a good time. That's like it's the shared experience is what I still love. And no matter how much it seems like online or whatever content comes out, we all still kind of crave that to go around and beat people. Oh, another cool rock. Sorry, fanboy story. So we over Slobberbone at Off-Broadway, one of the best places for sound in the entire city. And I remember Brent Best, another one of my favorite songwriters. He's the lead singer of that. And I was hanging out and talking to guitar player Jess, who owns a really cool bar, the Starlight Lounge in Dallas. So I'm sitting there and I was like, I'm going to walk over to the gas station. I'm like, anybody need anything? And I say it to everyone. It's like my band and their band. I remember Brent Best leans over and I was like, oh shit. And he looks at me, he's like, I need a Diet Mountain Dew. He hands me like $5. And I'm like, I got it, man. Don't worry about it. So I walked to buy Brent Best a Mountain Dew. And I was like, this is going to be about as good as it gets for me. Like, I get to buy one of my heroes a Mountain Dew from a gas station in South City. And he was quite appreciative. And then he blew us off the stage, so that was great. But anyway, so the shared experience of a rock and roll show, there's nothing quite like it, man.
Yeah, I was telling somebody the other night, man, like about I was telling them how I go to a lot of shows by myself. I mean, I'll try to get anybody to go with me, but it's hard to get people out some nights, especially for some of the bands that I go to see, because they're not as well known, you know. I don't ever hardly go to the amphitheater or any, you know.
I think I've been, I haven't been there since like Tom Petty like 5 years ago.
All my shows are in small clubs and stuff. And, you know, I'll throw it out there on Facebook and stuff, or in texting and calling friends and things. Yeah. And hard to get people out, but I'll go by myself. And I've told people, that's weird. I don't think I could go by myself. And I'm like, it's not weird. I mean, once you get there, like, it's easy to start talking to people because you all have at least something in common. You're at the same show, listening to the same band. You know, there's a reason you're all, you know, but it's that once you're in that moment and you are sharing that experience together, like it all starts to click. And you, like, I've met all kinds of people at these shows, and like I see, you know, of course, and I go to the next one and I run into them again. Like, hey, I saw you guys over here at this show and stuff. Yeah. And like, so it's that kind of thing. Like, I end up meeting a lot of people and talking and stuff. I'm a talker, so I end up
I hope so. There's 201 episodes.
But man, one of those one of my favorite moments of doing that, going by myself into a show, I went to see Michael Franti and Spearhead.
My wife's a fan.
I went to see him at the Pageant.
And, cool.
It was just unreal, man. Like, one, the sound, everything was incredible. Like, it's just a great theater or venue. And, but that, it was like probably the closest I've ever had to like a church kind of thing. Like, I mean, I'm not very religious, so I don't, but like, you know, you see like, in the movies and things, somehow, like the way a lot of
catch the Holy Spirit,
Southern Baptist or something, like, you know, like everybody up and like dancing and thing. But it was that kind of energy in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, there was like, you know, it was like Michael Franti's the preacher up there, mm-hmm. and like this, we're at his church, you know, for the night. Like, it was just like this such positive energy coming off of him, and it was just like, it was so cool. And
can feel that energy of everyone together. Right. It's a thing. I don't care what anyone says. There's a thing you can feel.
Yeah.
You can't describe it, but you know it when you feel it, and you're like, yep, this is...
Yeah, I mean, and all these songs are happy, fun songs. Everybody's up dancing, and it's just like it's such a cool time to, you know, and all of his songs are about, like, thankful to be alive and stuff. And, like, you know, so, yeah, it's...
I guess for people to understand, it'd be like, the way to describe, like, a sports analogy, it's like when you're all at a cards game and, like, someone goes deep right when they're supposed to. That feeling you get, and you can feel it with it. It's the same thing at a concert when it's just like, holy, this is,
Yeah, definitely, man. But, yeah, no, I agree, man. I love live music. I love going to shows.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked, we've been talking about some songwriting and things.
Oh, yeah.
And you got your guitar here.
Yeah, we got a few lists here on the wall. Yeah. God, my handwriting is terrible. This is... but
I was
I can play the piano here, I can play the guitar, we can do whatever.
I was listening to your what's the name of the 21st Century
21st Century Life, that's the last one that came out in 14 15
man, but I was 14, something like that. I was really digging it though, man. There was a lot of good stuff on there.
That was the most collaborative thing we've ever done. The first record was a lot of just I wrote all the lyrics and most of the chord progressions and we kind of worked them out. And it was—it's a good record, but 21st Century Life was all five of us in a room working together to make the song sound exactly how we want. And for me, it's just night and day. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
You can still buy the first record if you want, but I like the second one.
Yeah. Well, there was a train ticket.
Oh yeah, that's a sad, pretty love song. There,
yeah, but
that's it. Yeah, well, that's Dead Drug and Pretty. Oh God, I know it too quick. Yeah, train ticket. That is Erica Tompkins, one of my oldest and dearest friends, sings on that too. She's. I remember I text Kyle, Kyle's wife Megan, who I've known longer than Kyle. Kyle's the lead guitar player. And I text Megan. I'm like, you know any girls who can sing? Because I know Megan won't do it. And she's like, Erica does. So I had no idea that Erica sang it. I'd known her for like 8 years at that point. So I text her. I'm like, can you come in and sing in like 2 hours? And she gets sends back, I'm really hungover. That's how she sounds in my head. Like, but I can do it. So she shows, I send her a like, I email her on my phone a copy of the song. And she comes over, practice. We practice it in the garage of the studio for like 15 minutes. She comes in, just knocks it out cold. And I was just like, yep. So she's singing back up on the next record. She comes on stage with us. We're in Columbia, so... But yeah, that's a pretty one. If you want to hear that one, I can play that one. I can play anything, almost anything on here. Some of them I don't know the chords to because Dave wrote them or Kyle wrote them, and I just go up there and sing. So
yeah. I mean, if you want to do that one, I like that one a lot. I thought that one would be a good one to play too, being that it's essentially already on the record. Even it's already. Pretty stripped down.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah, look at forward thinking. Oh man, to sing a love song on the radio. I haven't done that before. But yeah. So I mean, when did we write this one? I don't remember. That sounds good. Oh, I love this guitar. I don't know anything about gear really. You'll learn this a lot about me. I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but Dave and Kyle know everything about gear. So I text Dave, and we'd email back and forth, and I'm trying to figure out a guitar, and finally he just sends me a link. He's like, just buy this guitar. So I bought this guitar, and perfect. So.
Yeah.
All right, so train ticket. I don't know. What's it about? It's about really wanting someone I guess you used to have, and it's the feeling, you know, when it's you feel like, you know, this could happen, but you know it's not going to, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Yeah, so, all right, we'll try this one. It's a G if you want to sing along. I never got that at karaoke when they show the thing. It's like G sharp. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
All
right,
so, let's see if I can still do this one. Let me know if I'm peeking out. All right. Okay. Train ticket, take one.
St. Louis again without the TV. Oh. subcontinent and I lost my way on my way back to you, and I tried, but I spent every dollar I made. Friday night, but babe, I don't ever wanna die. I don't ever wanna die. I don't ever wanna die. And now every kind of woman wants a certain kind of man, but if there's one thing for certain, there ain't nothing certain about a man. And I would give you the green from my eyes if it would keep us from seeing goodbye, cause there's nothing left in the night, nothing but the shadows and the light. So I'll try, and I'll run straight through, because I got a train ticket and I'm still in love with you. And I'll wore my heart out living this way. Only in the night, in the shadow of brake lights, always live every Friday night. But babe, I don't ever. I don't ever wanna die. I don't ever wanna die. I don't ever wanna die.
There's a mandolin solo, and then it's over. Song goes. Yeah. Todd tears that song up on the record. He makes that song.
Yeah, man.
I haven't played that in a while. Thank you.
Sounded good.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. So about 21st Century Life. Yeah. Like, I was listening, man, and what I like, and what, some of my favorite records are that, like, where it's not really, you cross a lot of different genre mm-hmm. through it. Like, I mean, you got some rock stuff, you got some blues stuff, and then, like, you got your love songs there yeah. and stuff, and, like... So I like that the album takes you on a journey. You know, you mm-hmm. go up and down throughout the record, and a lot of different things going on. I like that. Yeah, even a lot of harmonica in there too. Like,
yeah.
So I like.
I like records with staccato to them, where it's not like I love heavy music. I love fast music. I love it all, but I don't like 12 songs of the same thing
in a row.
I like all the songs, but I can't listen to the whole record. So we like making records where it's like. We don't try to be any kind of band. We're mm-hmm. not like, hey, we're a rock and roll band, or hey, we're a blues band. It's just like, this song sounds good. Does yeah. it fit on the record? Let's do it. And we like that, the up and down of the record, so you don't get... You know, if you put it on, and you're four songs in, you don't... You know, like when you're reading a book, and all of a sudden you realize you read three pages, but you don't remember any of it?
Right.
I kind of get that with records sometimes, when every song's the same.
Sure.
So you try to bring people in. That's the big sequencing thing with the record. Is like, okay, this is where it, boom, and then it drops down. You get the listener's attention again, and it goes back up. So that right. sort of thing where you can go all the way through the record. So,
yeah.
And this is the first record I didn't sequence the whole thing. Kyle did it, and it came out, well, he's smarter than me. So, I mean, it just came out the way he set the record up. The only thing we decided is what we wanted at the beginning and the end, and he put everything else in the middle. And, yeah, it came out great that way. So
Yeah, so that's pretty much available everywhere.
Online, on the interwebs, yeah. On the line, iTunes, Spotify. If you play it on Spotify, I get 1/100th of a cent.
Yeah,
so just keep it on repeat, right. Keep it refresh.
Do you know Jeff Griswold at all?
No, is he related to like Clark Griswold?
No, I don't know. I'll have to ask. But yeah, he's got a Von Drux was his band.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they were looking into going in to record a new song or do something, and like that's, he said something. He's like, yeah, Hey, if you guys could just leave your Spotify on repeat for the week or whatever, we might roll up enough to, you know, pay for one song or something like
I'll check, like, the account balance. I'm like, oh, $8! Yeah. I get extracted 40. All right. Thank God. Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, Spotify and I guess it's about iTunes or just CD Baby. Is it? Yeah.
And,
well, no, CD Baby, what's the thing? Bandcamp.
Bandcamp,
Matt Bosler of Talk turned me onto that, who,
He's
one of the most eccentrically hilarious human beings. If you don't follow Matt Bosler, B-A-S-L-E-R, from Talk, on every social media, it's pretty, it's borderline Andy Kaufman-esque the way his humor works, but, yeah he turned me onto that.
So. I just met him and Brian a little while back, a couple months ago, whatever, summer or something like that, and, I was again. He was one of these guys that, like, I'm like, how have I not heard of Talk? You know, like, these guys are incredible. Like, this,
it's insane. I mean,
they've been around for a while, and the band kicks ass. And I'm like, I've just totally missed out on all that. And, but yeah, man, I sat down and recorded with those guys, and they had me laughing the whole time. Like, they are so funny.
I went and did his podcast like 4 or 5 years ago in his basement, and there's just like 10 CPR dummies, and I was like, this is gonna be a great evening.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we like 20 minutes, we talked about Noah Leiner from Soma, who we both know forever, but yeah, Matt and Brian, those dudes are...
Well, Matt, Matt likes to tell you what your band name is about. That's his...
I can't wait.
That's his move. Like, usually he'll have bands on and tell them what their name means.
Oh, nice.
And it's usually really funny. And,
I gotta go back on the talk cast.
Yeah. But, but yeah, what? So where does Money for Guns come from? That since we're talking about
Money for Guns, actually, Dave and I, one of our favorite songwriters is this guy Jesse Milan. He's out of New York City. We actually got to open for him too. Another super nice dude. Like, I was worried about that, and I was like, he's a New York singer songwriter, whatever. You know, he's been around forever. He's played with a million fucking no name bands, and he was just the sweetest, nicest dude ever. And I was like, thank you, God. Like, we're going up to walk up to him, and he's like, hey, guys, come on to the dressing room, let's have a beer. And I was like, done, sweet, thank God. But he has this song called Prisoners of Paradise off record Glitter in the Gutter, which came out in, like, 06, I think. And it's wore it out in the stereo. And there's a line at the end of the song, and he says, Kids on the Run and Money for Guns were Prisoners of Paradise. And I was like, Money for Guns, that'd be a cool band name. So I text Dave, and he's like, whatever, fine. And done, that was it. So, yeah, and I guess it's the gun buyback program they've had in, like, Seattle, a bunch of places. You just bring guns to some place, and they'll give you money. What could go wrong?
Right.
So, yeah, that's what we're named after, basically. And it's been, you know, hey, whatever, it works.
Sure.
So,
yeah, it's, it is, you know, I've talked to a lot of these bands about names. And there's a lot to a name, but sometimes it's just a placeholder, too, you know. It's like you just kind of need something to, hey, I mean... There really is not a lot of thought behind Rock Paper Podcast. It was it was more, we were kind of thinking of, like, cool kind of 90s pop culture kind of, or something.
Yeah.
We had, like, a whole list of, like, things. Like, I knew one idea I threw out, like, because I always wanted the show to feel like a hangout kind of thing. So I was trying to think of, like, hangout spots, and I was like, like the Max and Saved by the Bell, or like something like maybe the Max or whatever.
The Magician shows up.
And you know, so I had all these ideas, and, like, anyway, we had a list of them, and we threw it out on Facebook, and Rock Paper Podcast was, like, runaway winner. And
nice. Like, it's catchy. I'm like, wait, it sounds like something I've known, even though I just learned about it like a month and a half ago.
Yeah. People like it, and it kind of rolls off the tongue nicely, I guess, and you know, it's. But yeah, it really is no, like, deep meaning behind it. It's just a name. And...
Yeah, it's basically going, oh, hey, that sounds like a band name. Text, boom, done.
All right. There's this other, I mentioned it before, but it's, there's another podcast I listened to called About Last Night with these two comics, Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Nice.
And they all just interview a third comic, comes on the show, and they just tell stories about the road and everything else. And but anytime something comes up, I talked about it with the ladies of Riding with St. Louis the other night, and they said something along the lines, a line came up saying, like, slow-mo kung fu or something like that.
Okay.
And, like, so some weird, you know, just a phrase like that, whatever, I mean, out of, you take it out of context, and like, and that's what. So they'll be like, on the About Last Night podcast, they'll be like, yeah, I hear Slow-Mo Kung Fu's playing Coachella this year or something like that. You know, yeah. Like, so they always make a joke about it, referencing it to being a band name and stuff. And
yeah,
and that's could be. Yeah, I mean, so it's just funny how many like organic, you know, potential band names come out of
that. Band would need to have either a synth player,
yeah,
a drum machine. It'd have to be a guy and a girl.
Right.
And that would be Slow-Mo Kung Fu.
Yeah, there it is.
Sing songs about wizards and karate.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can make that happen, yeah.
They were telling me about the group Karate Bikini.
Oh, yeah.
They're here in town, and like, apparently the guy that picked the name for that group would just go on MySpace back in the day and like make up fake band pages all the time. And nice. Like, so Karate Bikini was one of the fake bands that he made up and like became a real band, so like...
What the
hell?
Yeah, whatever,
yeah,
works, man.
So, but yeah, no, I don't know. It's funny though to think of, you know the stories behind the band names and all the different.
I was in a metal band for one night called Genital Wart.
One night, huh?
This guy in Columbia, he would throw like metal nights at Shattered, and he's like, "Do you guys want to play metal night?" To like our band, the Frustrated Bachelors, it was like, "We're not gonna fit in." So we're like, "We gotta be a metal band." So we wrote in like 2 weeks, like seven. We recorded a bass player who actually knew what he was doing, Rory Bogdan. I wonder the hell Rory is. And we played one metal night as.
Shout out to Rory.
Yeah, Rory Bogdan, wherever you are. I think he was in Korea at one point. Called Genital Wart. And it was the most fun I've ever had on stage. Like, it was insane. There was a song called "I Will." A Revolution is Coming. And the other one I remember is "I Will Water the Lawn with the Blood of the Innocent," which is a song that Dave wrote. It's the greatest line. Like, I'll never write anything better than that in my entire life.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Genital Wart, Money for Guns and the Frustrated Bachelors. And we wanted to be in a fake band called the Jonathan Taylor Thomas Experiment. Where, and my buddy Pegato had the idea that on stage would just be a TV with a loop of Jonathan Taylor Thomas dancing while we all played Fisher-Price instruments.
Yeah.
Why we didn't do that, I will never know. But, you know.
I still quote quite a bit that Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Man of the House.
Was that the one, Tim Allen?
Chevy Chase.
Oh my god.
It was just like stepdad.
And, oh, that's right.
And he's like, they join that like, Indian guides class or something like that. And
okay.
Like, to bond. And then he
gives air quotes to bond.
Well, basically, Jonathan Taylor Thomas just like tortures him, and he's like, he named him Squatting Dog or something like that was his Indian name. And then he's like, Squatting Dog, huh? He's like, that's the best you can do. He's like, well, I had a squirrel named Num Nuts. And, nice. I always thought, I think of that, and I think of when, like, they're, so for me, like, when I hear music,
mm-hmm.
I think of the visuals to go with it, like, you know, whether it's the music video or the movie soundtrack or,
yeah,
they're just hand in hand in my brain. Mm-hmm. So when I hear, now I'm gonna blank on the name of the song. It's like a CNC Music Factory or something.
Good Vibrations?
No.
That's another one?
No, it was the Good Vibrations, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Oh, yeah. Dance to the Rhythm. Dance, dance to the Rhythm. Dance. Oh, what is that?
It's something like, it's one of those.
Yeah.
Or Technotronic, maybe, or something. Like,
yeah.
No, it sounds stupid.
Move your butt anyway, to the dance floor. Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those songs, and they're like dancing to it in the in Man of the House, and then like doing rain dance, and then all of a sudden it starts raining and stuff. So when I'm listening to my 90s on 9.
CNC Music Factory and JTT are forever combined.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that, and it's kind of like the Dazed and Confused and the Sweet Emotion with the Chevelle coming around.
The kid should just sign the paper and drink anyway. That's the whole moment. You get to be quarterback. Just go drink. The coach didn't get to know. He's not around all summer.
Oh, yeah.
He's a coach specifically, so he doesn't have to work all summer. You sign the paper, you drink. I don't know. It's like, why are we not doing this, man?
Right.
Like, not going to lie to the coach. Everyone else is doing it. Anyway,
all right.
Yeah.
Be a lot cooler if you did.
Nice.
Cool, man. Well, so we touched on it just briefly, but you guys are gearing up for a new record this summer.
Yeah. Another one.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the phrase, good money after bad? Because that's what being in a band is. It's waiting and spending money.
Yeah.
But it's worth it in the end. I mean, 90% of being in a band is getting ready to wait to do something.
Sure.
And, but God, it's worth it every time.
But, hurry up and wait.
That's, yep. Yeah. No, yeah, so we got the tentative name is Let America Crumble, which is fitting in the climate we're in these days. It's going to be about 10 or 11 songs. If Kyle has his way, it's going to be like 12 or 13, which means it'll probably be 12 or 13. And, we have the first four tracks. We go in next weekend to finish those, and then in May to track the last six or seven at Mansion Studio out in Columbia, where we did the last two records. And nice. I'm super excited. I know it's the best writing I've ever done, and the songs Kyle has on here as well, we're better than 10 other with him doing that. So
with a title like Let America Crumble and Money for Guns, do you have like a lot of political topics throughout the record at all? Or
I don't know if they're political. It's a kind of that what I call the American condition of that, that I think our generation, we're about the same age, was given a bill of goods that wasn't really, it was, if you go to school and you work hard and you go to college, it's the world's your oyster, and it's not. Sure. And it's that sort of that slow realization of that this is not what it was, what we were told it was going to be, which, it's probably happened to every single generation along the way, but you don't realize it until you realize it and it's almost too late. So it's that kind of feeling of the song Let America Crumble is basically that feeling of I want something so bad, I don't care what happens, you can let the whole thing burn down as long as I get this one thing that I want. And that's kind of what that song's about. And it's kind of a lot of that, what I've tried to do is trace different, something that I learned from Springsteen, which was that you don't write the same song, but you write about the same people or the same version of yourself throughout the years. And it's kind of tracing the same characters from records when I was 23. And now those people, it's always for people my age or around my age is what I try to write for, is that, because I can't write, because if you're still writing the same kind of songs you wrote when you were 23, you're not good. Right. You gotta grow up, and you gotta always, I guess Dylan said, you always need to be in a state of becoming as a songwriter. That's what I try to do, is keep tracing those people through the last decade of this is what life was like at 26, 30, now going to the mid-30s and staring at that abyss of, late 30s and 40s when, so that's kind of where we're at, just trying to trace everything that far, and that's kind of where I'm at with this one, that I just don't care as long as, that desperate feeling of just if it all falls down, I don't care as long as I get this one thing that I've wanted for so long. So, that was pretentious. Wow. All right. Okay.
Are those guys all, I'm sure that's pretty big influences there, Springsteen and Dylan and stuff?
The Boss, everyone loves Springsteen, but for us it's like Tom Waits, Tom Petty. Yeah. We all love the band.
When you say Tom Petty, man, I just went down to Oyster Bar. I work at Oyster Bar two nights a week.
Oh, nice.
And
an alligator tail is good, man. Anyway, sorry.
But they did a, Sean Cannon does these voodoo players nights on Wednesdays where they different, sometimes it's a theme night. Like they did like a trucker country night a little bit ago.
Sweet.
And then but a lot of nights they do a full lineup of just one band.
Oh, okay.
And so they did The Band a little while back. They did Blues Brothers a while back. They did Bob Marley for Bob's birthday.
Oh yeah.
But just last week they did Tom Petty, and it's like one of those where, and even now I've seen Tom Petty live too, and it's it's again the same kind of thing, but it's you get to listening to those songs, and you're like, damn, man, I forgot about this one. He's just got so many hits after hits, man. It's just
Tom Petty and CCR. Like, you don't know it, but you know the words to 20 of their songs.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't know it. And you're like, oh, yeah, Green River. Sure. Oh, unfortunately, it's the same way with Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Every song, when you hear it, you're like, that's a classic, right? It's like, no, you wrote that one. Like, oh, okay. Last week. Tom Petty, you can't. That was, if I ever got to be a musician, that'd be the career I wanted. Like, every 18 months, 2 years, we put out a record. It sells pretty well. I'm not, Springsteen famous, but you get to just keep making records, and people mostly leave you alone. That would be, just some trailer dude from Gainesville, Florida.
One of my favorite, it's actually one of my favorite concert moments, too. It happens a lot of shows, but you said being there 5 years ago. I was probably at that same show.
Is that the one where Mike Campbell passed out?
No, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Maybe it wasn't that one. Maybe it was longer. Maybe it was before all that. But no, this was, you know, of course, they're playing, Tom Petty plays pretty much all the hits. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, and then, but there was a portion of the show in the middle where, like, all right, we're going to play some new ones. And, like, you watch, like, the entire
lawn, like, that. Yeah.
Clear out to go take a leak and grab a beer and come back and finish the night out strong. And it's like, but it just makes me laugh whenever they say that, like, you know, nobody wants to hear the new stuff, Tom. Just keep playing the old, you know, the hits and stuff.
But they all sound like classic songs. Yeah. No, like when that Mojo record came out, I'm like, holy God, like this is, the guy still has his fastball. Like, it's insane. That's one of those, like, you're like, he tricks you because it doesn't sound like it's that complex. It's not like Mike Campbell said, their motto, which we try to adapt, is don't bore us, get to the chorus. That's the Heartbreakers motto. It's like every song you're like, well, that's a pretty simple tune. You listen to it, you're like, that's really complex and incredibly hard. Like, I can't. It's one of those things that like carrot you keep going for.
So, yeah.
No. I can talk about Tom Petty for 5 minutes.
Oh, man. Yeah. I agree. He, Breakdown is one that got me, man, the other night when, like, I was. It's just.
That's a great bass line. Yeah. That's a great rhythm track on that song, man. That's,
That's, and I'd, just like a little. That guitar, that kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's just like that, like, cool little looking, like,
yeah, like Mike Campbell's he's my favorite guitar player ever. And then Ben Montaigne's everyone's a good player in that band. Whether it was Stan Lynch or Ferroni now, like, that just, everyone is just, it's, yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
They're the next, I think, the step, I'd say, from the band, the next, I think, you know, the band ended in, what, 75, 76, and then it was the Heartbreakers were kind of that, where they can do it all. And that's the way I felt the band was. And I feel Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers was. And, yeah, it's, you can't get enough.
Do you know Old Souls Revival?
No.
You know those guys?
Mm-mm.
Neil C. Luke. I don't know how long they've been at it, but they're a rock band out of St. Louis here. But I've been following them a lot lately. They play a lot of shows with my friends, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals and the Wilderness, which, yeah, if you don't know any of those, if you don't know the Wilderness and Brother Lee and definitely go check those guys out, especially because they all love rock and roll and Bruce Springsteen and everything.
Yeah, keep me posted, man. I'm old. That's my problem. Like, I don't, I'm like, 10 o'clock. I'm like, honey, we need to get home. And it's like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like,
Old Souls did a show. Like last weekend, and they shared a video of them doing Atlantic City.
Nice.
And
The first show I ever played in my entire life, I closed with Atlantic City. Yeah,
it was awesome, man. They kind of made it just a hair heavier. It sounded really cool. And even for like a cell phone video or whatever, man, like it sounded really good. I was really jealous that I wasn't there to see it live, but
that's a great. Nebraska is a great. That was another record I got. Live at the Old Quarter by Townes Van Zandt, and then I got Nebraska and Stereo/Mono by Paul Westerberg all in like a 3-week span for the first time ever, and it just blew my mind. Nebraska's just Kyle Kelly, guitar player. He knows every single song on Nebraska forwards and backwards. It's insane. So we play State Trooper a lot. It's a good sound check tune for us to. You don't get a sound check, you do a line check. We always do State Trooper, but you can't. Yeah, man. Just good songwriting is good songwriting, I guess.
Sure. Well, would you want to play anything from the new record? Give people a little taste.
Yeah, give a little. Here's the thing. There's this one song, which is my favorite song I've written for this record, called Tonight the Highway. And I can never remember how to play it until I listen to 5 seconds of it. So I'm going to listen to 5 seconds of it. This is a little behind the scenes stuff here. Yeah, that's how I do it. Okay. So, every time, and I will scream at myself. So, Tonight the Highway. We're going to go all ballad for you tonight since we got the kind of a intimate setting down here.
Yeah.
So, Tonight the Highway, it's about that stretch of I-70 between St. Louis and Kansas City.
That beautiful stretch of highway there.
Oh, especially when you get past Columbia, I'm like, what the hell is
just billboards for lions doing?
I'm like, what? This is on the highway. Like, kids are in the backseat. Like, how many conversations have I had to have too early? Like, Daddy, what is pleasure? Just distance. Talk about it in 12 years. All right. So, anyway, all right, so we'll try Tonight the Highway.
like a sky on the air's light. Try to hold it together no matter the time or the weather. Yes, ready to come meet you tonight, I promise that I'll lie. Take you with all with me to tell you can feel so quick tonight. The highway. There's more miles in between you and me with the feeling of what it was, what it could be.
Out too bad, did I?
Nah,
all right, I try not to sing too loud. I'm loud.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah. Mentioned Will earlier, but it reminded me when you were playing that, I noticed you were chewing gum.
Yeah.
Because there's a video of him doing "Even If It Breaks Your Heart," which he.
Tom Petty?
No, Will Hogue.
Will Hogue. Yeah.
So even if he wrote that song, "Even If It Breaks Your Heart," that Eli Young band made a number one country hit.
Oh, nice.
But there was a video of him singing on Music Fog.
You ever
seen that channel on YouTube? But there's a video there. He's playing guitar, singing, chewing gum, and playing harmonica.
Yeah,
all the same time. And I'm like,
that's
pretty good, man. Like,
it keeps the cotton mouth from kicking in. It's hard to drink anything in the middle of a song,
right?
At least when you're playing guitar.
Yeah, but I was like, you know, let alone is he already doing a lot, but he's chewing bubble gum too. It
was like, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, time for a little more.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
Juicy Fruit, Mr. Brown iced coffee, and basketball.
Yeah.
None are good for me. None of them.
The problem with Juicy Fruit, though, is only lasts three. Like,
I know!
Minutes, man.
I'm like, I need more. It's like a Coke dealer. It's like, one stick, no.
They do, I noticed they last a little bit long, but they do have, like, the double bubble, like, squares.
No way.
And Juicy Fruit flavor.
Great.
And it lasts a little longer, but not quite long.
There goes my 401k.
Yeah, right.
Jesus.
You gotta invest, man.
I know, in Juicy Fruit.
Yeah.
It keeps. But, yeah. So that was Tonight the Highway.
Yeah,
I'm excited about
that.
A couple piano songs, yeah.
Coming out this summer sometime.
Huh? Hopefully in July, June or July, depending on how mixing goes. And I'd like to play an outside show. We haven't had our last two record releases at the Duck Room, which is, they're fantastic. They're great to us. I'd like to play an outdoor concert for this one because it's going to be in the summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know where to do that.
I mean, who knows what they've got going on, but the bootleg over at Atomic Cowboy.
Yeah, they have that huge stage outside, right?
That stage is really nice outside, and it's a cool little, like, kind of tiki kind of vibe going on on the outdoor patio bar and stuff. That might be a cool spot.
How's for the sound? Good sound?
Yeah, man. I saw a little while back, I saw Aaron Cam and the One Drops play out there, and it sounded really good. And then the Unifier played the after party on the inside stage and stuff. So.
Oh, okay. I haven't been to Atomic Cowboy in a while.
Yeah.
Ooh, brunch.
But yeah, man, no, it was cool. So that might be an option.
I like it. The bootleg of the Atomic Cowboy.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So do we have any shows on the calendar?
We're playing the demo, Kevin and I, the drummer and I, on the 20th? No, whatever. Not next Saturday, but the Saturday after. It's like the 23rd. We're playing with our friends from Lita Una. They played our last record release with us. Really good dudes. My buddy Ronnie plays drums. And they asked us to come play. So Kevin and I are going to do our little two-man thing we do when the other guys can't make it. So it's going to be loud, mildly unprofessional, and it'll be a lot of fun, like it usually is. So yeah, come out. So the demo, nice stage, good people there too.
Sure.
So
yeah,
it'll be a fun night.
Yeah, no, I that's a good little room, man. I like it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like that area of Manchester.
Grove's coming along. Grove, there's a lot of good restaurants, a lot of good.
For sure.
The gramophone's still there.
Great sandwiches, man.
Oh yeah. Where did we eat? We ate it. God, it's a burger joint. It's new. It's like an L. God, what the hell is that place called? We went on Valentine's Day.
Is that Layla?
Yes. Yeah. Like, I am no stranger to hamburgers.
Yeah.
Okay? I am a full-blooded meat and potatoes American man. And that was the best goddamn hamburger I've ever had.
Yeah?
And my wife said it was the best veggie burger she's ever had, which I don't know if that's like an oxymoron, but it was the best hamburger I've ever had in my life. And I was like, holy, I don't know how they did it, but yeah, I can't wait to go back. So good.
Yeah, I haven't ate over there, but I've been, they do quite a bit of music on the weekends.
Really?
Yeah, that brother Lee I mentioned, I think they're playing there like Saturday night or something, so.
Nice.
But yeah, no, they've been doing quite a bit of music. I'm not sure, I haven't made a show, but I plugged a lot of them for the guys. And
very cool.
And so yeah, I'm not sure how that's set up, but. Yeah, now that I know they got some really good burgers, it might.
You can't go wrong. I was just like, gee, I'm like, God, this is good.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect. I was like, because it doesn't look like a burger joint, but that's what it is. He does specialty, crazy burgers. I met the owner guy, super nice dude. And just, yeah, I was like, God, this is amazing. So,
yeah. And then what, at Urban Chestnut?
Plate of sausage and beer. What God did we please, man?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just a pile of meat and booze.
But yeah, they Sweetie Pie's down there too.
Yep.
Like it's you got a little everything right there in the Grove, man. It's a cool little area of town now.
I haven't been to Sweetie Pie's in a minute, man. That place is it's all good.
Jesus. Yeah, man.
I can't remember the last place I had a bad meal. Town's got a lot of good restaurants in it.
All right,
but sure. Anyway, so
yeah, cool. Well, so we got the demo coming up, and then you guys
are studio record release.
Record.
Yeah. We'll probably play in Como soon. I haven't played there in a few months, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay posted and subscribe to the Rock Paper Podcast
on
iTunes, on Beyond Pod, on whatever else they do.
Yeah. I do... I promote Stitcher a lot.
Stitcher.
It's a good good Android app that I use on my...
Okay.
I like the layout, and it's easy to use and everything. So, but yeah, there's hundreds of...
Is that a free download?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I got the Beyond Pod, I might have to mix it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Stitcher. It's cool. But yeah, there's like hundreds of different podcast apps out there. So.
Nice. And my buddy Steve Behrens, I didn't know what podcast was. And he's like, listen to this Adam Carolla show. And I'm like, the dude from The Man Show. And like all of a sudden, he's like, showed me how to do podcasts because this was like 2009. I didn't know what I was doing. And yeah, I got basically addicted. Like you said, the long form, like we were talking before we went on.
Yeah.
The long form interview, it's just like you get to know somebody.
For sure.
So,
I'm the same way. I knew a podcast and go on iTunes, you see it there, and podcasts and stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I didn't know where to start at all. And then, I met Jay Larson. He's a comic. I met him at the Funny Bone, and I really like what he does. And then he was like, I talked to him after the show, and he's like, hey, man, check out my podcast I do. I'm like, okay. I went on and checked, downloaded and listened to an episode, and like, And I was hooked, man. I enjoyed really what he was doing, and then that led me into a bunch of other shows. Yeah. And so I have like a couple that I listen to, you know, quite regularly, and you know, Nerdist and stuff. And
yeah, there's good stuff in there. Yeah. Hardwick, right? Yeah. Hardwick. I learned that Lou Diamond Phillips is hilarious.
Yeah,
this is what I learned on a podcast. I was like, holy crap!
Yeah.
Young Guns?
Oh, there's, man, yeah, Nerdist, they get all these huge celebrities on there, and it's,
yeah.
And it's so funny to some of the interviews they get with these people, and, but yeah, no, they've dialed it back now. I think they're only doing like one a week, but they were doing like three a week, for a while, and that was kind of a big inspiration for, you know, for me to push what I was doing. Nice. So
Ricky Lindholm had a podcast on the Nerdist, and my friend Lindsay Barrow from grade school does something there. Huh. I forget, but yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
we've pretty much touched everything tonight.
Yeah. Hey, that's what it's great for.
Yeah.
You never know. Who knew when we were going to sit down and start talking, we'd end up talking about Juicy Fruit and
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah. So, never know where it's going to go.
It's a tapestry.
Yeah, I love it, man. But yeah, so you can find Money for Guns on
Facebook/ Money for Guns, Twitter. I don't know how to use that.
Yeah.
Just do stuff. Instagram, and if you go to moneyforguns.bandcamp.com, everything we have out you can listen to there for free. And if you want to buy it, throw us a couple shekels. Feel free. So yeah.
Very cool, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. This was fun.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me over your home here and your
getting attacked by my cat.
Yeah. It's getting the full treatment, man. Full
Money for Guns treatment. Attacked by a cat sitting in the basement.
Well, we can close it out with maybe do a little more of a rocker since we did some of the ballad stuff. Which
a rocker? You want me to play it or
we can put a track on, give people the studio effect.
Oh, I would say if you want a full what we call Erica calls what does she call it? Oh, I can't say it. She called. You play that cock rock? There's only three women that ever punched me in my life, and they're all three friends of mine. And she's one of them. She gets hard. She calls me William, too.
Yeah.
Her, Jessica, and Megan. And Angie. They just call me William. I don't know what it is. I'd say, so if you want to play a rocker, I'd say the track one off 21st Century Life, Dead, Drunk, and Pretty, is probably, that's my favorite rocker to play live. That, or Beauty and the Wreckage. Crap.
Yeah.
Do Beauty and the Wreckage.
All right.
It almost sounds like a Tom Petty song.
Yeah.
Almost. Yes. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah, all right, man. Well, Will, I appreciate you
appreciate you for coming.
This has been a lot of fun. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
See you next time, man.
There we go.
kids are drowning in this town. And can you feel the crowd? It's sinking down. And we can hit the water and leave it all behind. And if you got the time, well, you've been on my mind.